Praise the Lord. All right. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Praise the Lord. And this is the Father's house.
Yes, it is.
This is not the hog pen.
It's not that.
There is peace in the house.
Yes.
Joy in the house.
Yes, it is.
Salvation in the house.
Hallelujah.
Healing in the house.
Hallelujah.
Prosperity in the house.
Thank you.
Everything you need is in the house.
Thank you.
Everything you want is in the house.
Yes, it is.
If it's not in the house, you don't need it. If it's not in the house, you don't want it. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord, this day for your goodness to us. We thank you, God, for this assembly gathered here this morning to hear the word of God and share your testimony. We pray that you'll open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of your word this morning. Give us the spirit of wisdom and not of fear. Give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding of the word of faith and authority of the believer that we may be able to operate the ministries that you've given us in Jesus' name. Glory to God.
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. We're in the book of Acts. Chapter 14, and Paul and Barnabas were in Lystra, and they were about to make sacrifices to him. And when Paul and Barnabas heard about that, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people and stopped them. And so, of course, we read a little bit farther ahead, a couple of three verses ahead. So the people decided, well, if we can't sacrifice to them, we'll just kill them. if we can't worship them, we'll kill them. If they're not gods, they ought to be dead. And that just shows you how fast human sentiment can turn. Mm-hmm. How fast it can turn.
Verse 19, y'all do.
Yeah, so I'll start with verse 16 here, where Paul is saying, who in time past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways, nevertheless he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained the people that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. So, yesterday they were going to worship him and sacrifice to him. Now they try to kill him.
My goodness.
It is incredible how fast human sentiment can turn. It is incredible, truly amazing.
It says they persuaded the people.
They persuaded us. The Jews came. Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and persuaded the people.
So they were very easily influenced with what somebody else was saying.
That is correct.
Doctrine, probably.
They were easily influenced.
Isn't that wild?
The same way as it is today.
I'm not compromised. No.
Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. So apparently, Paul was raised from the dead at this point. It appears to be that he was resurrected from the dead at this point.
Even if they hadn't killed him, he wouldn't have got up. They'd had to pick him up, put him in a bed somewhere, and nursed him back to health. But he got up on his own.
That's a good
Yeah.
point. That's good. Yeah.
This is true. Now, it doesn't say that, it doesn't even say that they were praying for him. It says that the disciples stood round about him. This almost looks like a sovereign move of God that just raised him up without... There wasn't any gift in operation.
Doesn't say.
And there wasn't any prayer, no prayer of faith, no gift of miracles or healings or anything else. God just sovereignly raised him up, apparently, at this point, which God can do.
It shocked the disciples that were standing around him.
I think just them standing around him drew the power from God. On them, just them standing around, and that was some kind of support.
Yeah, what I was thinking different. I was thinking they were probably, is he really dead? I don't know, if that's.
Well,
Well, it may have been, you know, I mean, we've all got.
It would have been either way.
Yeah, we've all got, you know, ideas and opinions about what might have been going on here, but they may, if I'd have been there, I'd have probably been standing there thinking, what are we going to do now? Now, what are we going to do? I can't believe this.
I think if I was standing there, I'd have been saying, get up.
Well, yeah, I would hope you were standing there with me then.
He had expressed himself that, you know, he was for the Gentile, what his purpose and what his call was for. And they know,
Jesus,
it's not time.
Yeah.
You know, it's.
That's right. Well, they may have been having this same conversation.
Yeah.
They may have been talking these same things at that moment, you know, saying exactly what we're saying. Mm-hmm. Some folks said, well, what are we going to do now? Some people, like Sister Mary, said, well, now, it ain't time for him to go yet. Yeah. This can't be right. And while they were standing there discussing these things, all of a sudden, Paul stands upon his feet.
It was a miracle.
It definitely was.
It definitely was a miracle.
No question about it. It was a great move of God.
Yes, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
That's boldness, him just getting up and going back in the city. Mm-hmm. Preaching the gospel.
Yeah.
Well, the next day they left, you know. If they persecute you in one city, the Bible says flee to the other.
Yeah.
We had a missionary come to our to a church we were going to one time, and he said that was his favorite scripture. Said, if they persecute you in one city, flee to the other one.
Flee to another city. If they persecute you here, flee. Yeah. He liked that scripture. Anyhow, howbeit as the disciples stood around about him, he rose up and came into the city. Mm-hmm. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. All right, there's that word tribulation again.
So they went back to Lystra, though, or this took place at Lystra. Right?
Now, they weren't talking about the great tribulation, but they were talking about tribulation. And John, in chapter 1 of Revelation, said that he was our brother in tribulation. So John was in tribulation, and Paul was in tribulation. Mm-hmm. So every time we talk about, every time you see the word tribulation in the Bible, it's not talking about the great tribulation or the last 7 years. Uh-huh. So they were in tribulation even at the time that they were writing these letters. Mm-hmm. Okay. That we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Hmm. Is that what we're preaching these days?
Absolutely not.
We are not preaching that. We are preaching that with great prosperity we shall enter into the kingdom of God.
And with no harm, nothing, no
love. That's true.
Paul said, you know, it's not just imputed on you to believe on his name, but also to suffer for his name's sake.
That is true. That is true. There is a lot of tribulation. Christians are in tribulation in the world today. Some of them in great tribulation.
Yes, they are. Yeah. My God.
I think Brother Renner is saying that there is more tribulation, that there are more Christians have been killed.
He does.
What is it in the last?
In this last maybe 100 years, probably not that long, but in this last persecution that we see, than in all
of human
of
history put together. Yes. Yeah, all of church history put together.
Probably in the 20th.
In the 20th century, for sure, and in the first part of the 21st century, there's been more Christians martyred for the faith than in all the previous centuries put together, at least so that he says.
Well, let's say it's this nation we look at. We don't look at the other nations. In this country, we don't see us.
Yeah, you know.
All the other nations, like Russia, the guys. Mm-hmm.
Russia's not, you know.
China.
I know, China, but you know, brother.
Korea and various places.
It's against the law now to minister the gospel in Russia. They just passed a new law.
Yeah, well, Brother Renner does not say that. Brother Renner.
Yeah, but that's his. How long has he been in Russia?
Oh, he's been there. Oh, how long has he been, Monty?
He's been there for years.
Years, huh?
He's been there for years.
The Iron Curtain didn't let him in.
No, I'm not saying.
So that's what I'm talking about.
But I mean, right now, Brother Renner.
The Iron Curtain's supposed to be gone.
His last indication was to, I haven't seen it. And Robin, he had this thing where he was talking about how they welcome.
Anybody even in your own house.
And his church is doing marvelous in Russia. Brother Renner.
Right now. I'm talking, Brother Monty was talking about a period, you were talking about a period of time about martyrs.
Yeah, the Iron Curtain.
It's modern history when they killed priests.
Oh, they did. I'm not saying they didn't.
But it's still doing that in Muslim countries for sure.
And now we have.
And in China.
Babies being crucified, little kids.
Yeah.
And we don't even, what would America do? What will we do?
We murder babies all the time.
But what will we do when persecution comes to us?
Whoa.
You're right.
We don't see it that way.
What will we do?
Yeah, but the way they, some of them murder them, they tie those babies to their parents and stuff.
They do, they go pull them out of the womb and kill them and then put them back in and stick them out when they're 9 months pregnant.
What David got me on, what he really is true, those same people are doing that, or they don't agree with the death penalty.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Satan, I've asked my dad.
That is truly remarkable.
Satan has these people so blinded. They are blind. And that's what, they're blinded by Satan. It's still, they're going to pay for it. But they're blinded because they choose to be blinded. That's why the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ has to get out to everybody.
Well, God sent them strong delusion because of that. They want to believe the lie instead of truth. So God himself sends strong delusion.
After he's sent people praying because, you know, you don't ever give up unless God just, like you said, he tells you to give up.
You know, all you have to do is watch some news, and if for about the first 5 or 10 minutes you actually can see a little news, and after that they wander off into the high weeds, and all they want to talk about is what the Kardashians are doing and stuff like that. So if it didn't happen in the United States, and if it didn't happen, you know, in Washington, D.C., it just didn't happen.
Can I tell you something? Over in Mexico, in the mountains in Mexico, there have been so many tribes up there, man, missionaries going in there and witnessing people, man, they're getting saved by the groves. Then you got these terrorists come in there and wipe out the entire tribe just because they're Christian. Wipe them out, all of them now. There could be 1,000 people in this one tribe, all of them are dead.
I think that...
And it happens all the time.
I think we can see the handwriting on the wall that kind of thing is coming to this country.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's coming to this country.
It's actually going high.
They are turning against us, the whole country.
It's
turning against Christianity in this country.
They're gnashing the teeth now. National Teeth, that one senator even said that every single chance you get, you spit in a Christian's face.
Wait a minute.
I'll get his name for you.
What senator was that?
I'll get his name for you.
You need to give us that name.
Yeah, I'll get his name.
Okay, we need that. We need it's a name. Great, we need a name on
I'll
that.
I hear what he said.
Okay. All right, we need a name. I want a name on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll pass the video around all over Facebook for you.
All right. All right.
I have an employee that got mad with me because I let another employee get off every time he want to get off to take care of church activities.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. And he's mad. Well, he gets off anytime he wants to. Of course he does. He asks. He gets off.
All right. Praise the Lord. Let's see. Let's get back here. We must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and prayed with fasting. Now there's that word that we don't like to use anymore. We don't like that word. Oh, that's a bad word.
It's a curse word now.
That is almost a curse word now. We don't use that word anymore.
Well, if they use it for a diet.
Yeah.
A diet.
Yeah.
Not really what it's designed for.
Well, that's not what it's designed for. They commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And after they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down unto Attalia. And then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work. For the work which they fulfilled. So that's where that they left from in the first place. This is a different Antioch. This is the Antioch they were in chapter 13, verse 1, where they went out from. That's where God sent. That's where God set forth Barnabas and Saul as apostles and sent them out, and then from there they went all around Asia and came back to Antioch. So they've made the whole rounds, the one great missionary journey, and they're back again now. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles, and there they abode long time with the disciples. So, praise the Lord. You know, when Paul, you know, we a lot of times think that Paul was always on the move, that he was always traveling. That is not true. He was not always traveling. It says here he spent a long time with these people in Antioch, and so that and then we see that he spent years sometimes with different churches.
Ephesus, I think.
And Corinth also, yes.
Yeah, I think he saw a need to linger longer.
Well, that's true. Mm-hmm. And it's that's a good thing. You know, you can't just breeze in and have a week's service, have a week's worth of teaching and then breeze on out and, you know, and expect to really get things established. You need to stay there. You need to stay there and, you know, and work there. And Paul did, in order to really establish things, you know, you need to stay and spend some time. And Paul did do that in not only in Antioch. But Antioch was my favorite place. I mean, Antioch is my favorite church. Can you imagine just going to church? Can you imagine going to church at Antioch? I mean, all these great guys, Paul and Barnabas and Luke were there, and all these people. Wow. Going to church, sitting next to these guys in church, you know, and listening to them talk about what God was doing with them, and listening to the Word of God, you know, to see the gifts of the Spirit operating through these people.
Oh, wow.
Wouldn't that be something to see?
Yes.
I'm telling you what. And that's where, of course, the disciples were called Christians, first in Antioch. Antioch was a great had a great role to play in the church, and
I've often thought about doing that and everything, you know, going back, you know, and talking to one of them, they'd probably slap our doctrine down.
Well, I'm probably gonna have a chat with Paul.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna say, Paul, why did you say such and such? Didn't you have an idea that they were going to go off on some, you know, that, yeah, you know, I mean, you know, I'm probably going to say
that. Establish doctrines off of that.
I know. I'm probably going to ask him, Paul, what in the world were you talking about not letting women speak in church?
Yeah.
What is that all about?
Yeah.
I want to know what you were talking about. I don't understand. You know, I mean, that's just an example. I'm probably going to say that. I'm going to want to know what Paul was. What's that all about? I don't understand some of this stuff. But anyhow,
I don't think you meant what you said.
Did you really mean what you said?
Now, you're not supposed to speak in church.
But the positive is,
so anyhow, but yeah, you know, I don't know how we got on. How did we get on that? I don't know how. I don't know where that.
You know, some people still have that little thought in their mind, especially men. They don't want women. You know, I tell them, I said, I'm very comfortable with that. I don't speak from my. I can understand that. I always speak from my he spirit, the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
And then they get a little comfortable with that. I said, I'm not gonna come up in the she spirit.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to speak from the He Spirit, the Holy Spirit.
All right.
Very good. I like that.
All right. Praise the Lord. My time is up. Let me out of here. God bless you all.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
God is good.
I thought I drank all the coffee, so.
Oh, yeah.